You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, I need you to subscribe to Locked On Mets wherever you get your podcasts. Also, don't forget when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. On today's show, I want to talk about Noah Syndergaard. He is trying to work on his ability to contain the running game this season. So I'm going to talk about that in the first half of the show, along with his latest start in spring training. Then later on in the second half, I want to talk about Dellin Betances, as he has still yet to appear in a spring training game, and he has yet to reach that max velocity that he has thrown in the past. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, check me out on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMerizedOnline.com. So the Mets played the Marlins on Tuesday in Port St. Lucie. The Marlins ended up winning 6-1. Noah Syndergaard was on the mound, pitched three innings, gave up two hits, three runs, two of them earned, gave up a home run to Garrett Cooper in the first inning, but he also had five strikeouts during that time. He looked good, the pitches looked good, and he is trying to control the running game, which I'm going to talk about in just a minute. But to go through the rest of this game, you had Robert Gsellman pitch two innings, allowed a run. Familia pitched a scoreless inning with a strikeout. Brad Brock pitched a scoreless inning with a strikeout. Paul Sewald pitched a scoreless inning as well. And then Adonis Ucita gave up the other two runs. The Mets only scored a single run on a home run by Jeff McNeil in the first inning. McNeil has been incredible in spring training. Not to get carried away with these numbers, but this guy just knows how to hit. He's hitting .533 across his first six games played. He has eight hits and 15 at-bats, has scored three runs, has a double, a home run, and has drawn one walk. Now focusing in on Noah Syndergaard. Last year, he pitched to a career-worst 4.28 ERA. Of the 45 base stealers that tried to swipe a bag when he was on the mound, 42 of them reached base successfully. Mike Puma of the New York Post did an article about this and how Noah Syndergaard is trying to get better in that area. Syndergaard tells Puma, quote, "I like to think I'm quite a bit further along probably than I have ever been. I swallowed my pride in knowing that there's something I really need to work on there, and I've made a huge emphasis on doing so." In this article, Jeremy Hefner talks about Syndergaard and says that at this point, his delivery to the plate has been between 1.35 and 1.5 seconds. Last year, it was in the 1.6 range. And what that means, when you have a pitcher with that slow of a delivery to home plate, with the average for a pitcher being 1.40, and you also have a catcher like Wilson Ramos with a subpar pop time, those guys can just run wild. You can steal second, you can steal third, and that puts a ton of pressure on Noah Syndergaard to get strikeouts and to avoid giving up runs in those jams. To try to correct this, here's what Noah Syndergaard is trying to do. He says, quote, "For me, it's finding a quick, powerful position once I lift my leg and to just kind of drive down the mound and be explosive when I need to be, as opposed to having my shoulder fly open, just be quick without sacrificing stuff to home plate." That has always been the problem for Noah Syndergaard. And you say, you know what, Noah, focus on the guy at the plate. That's what has always been said. Focus on the batter. Your stuff is so good. You can get the strikeouts. You can work yourself out of these jams. Don't worry so much about the base stealers. But the problem has been the mental aspect of that, because that's easier said than done. I was a pitcher growing up through travel baseball and into high school, and I didn't throw very hard. And so for me, it was easy to have a quick slide step and get the ball to the plate. But even then, as I got older and people got faster, just the fact that I was all of a sudden, you know, not throwing as hard, they were able to steal even off my slide step because I just wasn't getting the ball to the plate that quickly. And when you are in that situation as a pitcher and people are running around you, it's easy to say, oh, don't worry about it. It's, you know, just focus on the guy at the plate. But every 90 feet that runner gets, it's 90 feet closer to a run on the board. And I don't care who you are, how good your stuff is, that's going to affect you mentally in some way. And Noah Syndergaard has basically, up to this point, tried to ignore that, tried to focus on the batter because he hasn't been able to comfortably find a way to control the running game. That is why, at times, he has been much more comfortable when he has someone like Rene Rivera or Tomas Nito behind the plate because they have that quick pop time to make up for his slowness and at least somewhat control the running game. At least those guys who can steal second might not be able to steal third on Noah. And so that's always been a struggle. Now you have a point right now where Noah Syndergaard is really focusing on this. And if he can get to a point where he can not necessarily have to pitch off a slide step, but at least not a full leg kick, and can get himself to the point where his stuff doesn't get diminished, but he can still get the ball to the plate sooner, that's going to help, for one, get him some extra outs as people are going to get gunned down. But once you start to throw out a couple of those runners, people are going to be a little bit more hesitant to go on him. I don't know if Noah Syndergaard's working on a pickoff move, but that is important too, because a big thing when it comes to base stealers is keeping them off balance and having multiple different pickoff moves and offerings you can give them that will throw them off and keep them from leaning too much and being able to run at ease. A lot of times you'll see it with Jacob deGrom where he'll sit there and he'll just stand there and hold the ball like a statue. He does that because then the runner can't get a good jump on him. So those are little things that pitchers need to do, and I think Noah Syndergaard is obviously thinking about that and getting into the right direction. And I think overall, once you start to learn those things, they become a little bit second nature, and it just becomes more of a mind game you can play as a pitcher to try to go at your opponent and really play the game of chess, because that's what a pitcher is doing. It's your pace, it's your tempo that you want to set. One of my pitching coaches always said that to me. He said, the batter wants you to be on his time, it's on your time. You're the one who has the ball in your hands, you're the one who controls that tempo of the game. And once you can have that and you can feel that, of course, a pitch clock might ruin that whole idea. But still, once Syndergaard can get into a groove with controlling the running game, I think that's going to help him quiet his mind when runners are on base. And that's also going to help him, in turn, execute his pitches better, which is only going to lower the ERA and make him more consistent. Regardless, I'm just happy that he is making this a point of emphasis, and I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing some positive results this season. In just a minute, I'm going to talk about Dellin Betances and his path to get back on the mound and face some live batters, hopefully before spring training is over. The biggest addition the Mets made this offseason was the signing of Dellin Betances. It fit a need. They got themselves a back-end reliever who has been outstanding throughout his career, but it didn't come without risks. You had Dellin Betances coming off an injury-plagued season. Last year, right around this time in spring training, Betances is in camp, he's throwing, and there's a diminished velocity that he's noticing. He gets checked out by the doctors. They find a bone spur in his throwing shoulder, and that essentially costed him almost the entire season, the first 5 months of it. He makes his season debut in September. He collects a few strikeouts, showing that same dominant stuff that has made him one of the best relievers in baseball throughout his career. And then all of a sudden, he tears an Achilles, season over, and really, Yankees' tenure over as he signs with the Mets this offseason. Now the Mets are hoping to get a bounce back from him, but once again he's shown up to camp, and the velocity is not quite there. Now, from seeing some Yankees people talk about this, Betances has been known in the past to be someone who takes a little bit of time to ramp up and to get up to that peak velocity. And Betances spoke to that. When he spoke to the media, he said, "I know myself. This is no big deal. I'm just trying to build up to where I need to be for the season." At this point, he's yet to appear in a Grapefruit League game. He has pitched 4 live batting practice sessions where he's faced hitters, but he has not quite gotten on the mound in an actual game yet. The level of concern on this at this time is very minimal. He went through a physical when he got signed. There's nothing wrong with him injury-wise. He just has to get himself back to where he was pre-injury. You're talking about multiple injuries here, and that's always been the concern when it came to this signing. The shoulder, who knows how healed that is, where that shoulder is. Sometimes a shoulder injury can follow a player for years. I mean, we were just talking to Brian Walton of the Cardinal Nation, and he was talking about Michael Wacha's wonky shoulder last week. So this is something that could become a pattern. So I think when you hear the diminished velocity, that's always the first thing that's going to go into your head. How is that shoulder doing? The other thing is the Achilles injury is one of the harder injuries in sports to come back from. Now in basketball or even maybe football, that used to be a death sentence. Now these athletes are able to come back from it, but Kevin Durant, for example, in basketball, tears his Achilles in the finals in July, and he's not back on the court. He's not going to play this season. A baseball player who's a pitcher, obviously that recovery time could be shortened. But right now you're talking about, you know, September is when he got hurt. So he's about 6 months post that injury. Obviously, that's something that they're monitoring as well. They got to make sure that is healthy and ready. With all of that being said, I don't really have concrete concerns that he's not going to get on the mound this year or anything to that extent. But what I will say is the Mets need to be cautious in this situation, because getting Dellin Betances there for opening day is not as important as having Dellin Betances for the length of your season and having him for the stretch run when you're trying to make a playoff push. That's when you need Dellin Betances. So depending on how this works, depending on if and when he gets into some of these spring training games, I would consider the possibility of giving him a little bit of an extended spring training and putting him into the bullpen maybe a month into the season or a little bit sooner depending on how his progression comes. Because the Mets, as I've pointed out recently, they have 3 off days across the first 12 days of their regular season schedule. So they're going to play 9 games in 12 days to start the year. So that means that the Mets may end up going with a 4-man rotation, and I kind of think that's where we're heading. Because why wouldn't you want Jacob DeGrom to start, you know, 3 of your first 12 games? If they went to that 4-man rotation to start off the year, you could realistically have Marcus Stroman, Noah Syndergaard, and DeGrom start 9 of your first 12 games. Why wouldn't you do that? So that might be something the Mets do. And if they do that, you're going to have 2 of those starting pitchers, Porcello, Walker, or Mats, potentially in the bullpen for the first 2 weeks. That means that you'll have a little bit more pitching depth that can make up for Betances maybe starting the year on the IL for a couple of weeks just to get him right. When you have him pitching an extended spring training against the minor leaguers in your system, or even if that stretches to the point where the minor league season starts, those are controlled environments. You can put him out there in a minor league game or against your guys, and he doesn't have to field his position and field a bunt. He doesn't have to do anything crazy like that. You can pull him out of a game. You can put him into the best situations where he only gets clean innings. Like, you can really control that situation. When you put him on the mound on opening day in front of 40,000 screaming fans, there's no control in that environment. He's got to be 100% ready to go. So I'm not saying that Betances is not going to be ready for opening day. I'm not a doctor. I'm not watching his bullpens. I don't know how hard he's throwing. I don't know where his progression is. I don't know any of that. All I'm saying is if he does not look 100% in short order, I would maybe consider going through those first 2 weeks where he had the days off without Betances, making sure he's right. And at that same time, the Mets can probably then carry another position player. If they want to go to a six-man bench, you can have the third catcher come up if you want and go with three catchers where Wilson Ramos, when he's not starting in those first couple games, can be used as a pinch hitter without fear of not having him as a backup. Like, you can do a couple things with your roster there and maneuver things to win as many of those first nine games as you can. You can get Betances right, and then Betances can join the team a couple weeks into the season, fully healthy and ready to go. We will see. Hopefully Betances is on the mound pitching in a spring training game and next week, and maybe he looks really good and he can be in the bullpen from the get-go. But I would just be cautious because you don't want to force the issue just to rush him for opening day. That just doesn't make a lot of sense. Anyway, thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe to this show wherever you get your podcasts. Also, don't forget, when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets.